So this morning at St. Matthew's, we are continuing our series of praying the Psalms, Psalms, Prayers of the Heart, based on that Bible study by Eugene Peterson, a wonderful, godly man. And today we're looking at Psalm 103 with the title, as Gail has already said, of Praying Our Salvation. Do you know, when I looked at this, it's like with so many of the, so many passages of Scripture in these Psalms, actually, we could do a whole series over weeks and weeks and weeks on this one psalm. There is so much in it. So again, as usual, I'm afraid within at the time that we've been given today, we will be skirting over quite a lot of it. But again, we just pray that the Lord will use us and guide us and signpost us from this as where to go and how we can go further into it. But we will, I'm afraid, only touch on some of it. But hopefully we'll be able to give a sort of a framework and a teaser, so to speak, an encouragement to go deeper into this psalm. So looking at this psalm, you will see immediately from the title that it says again at the top, of David. Always really interesting to note these titles in italics. And so it's another psalm written by King David. And to know about David from the Bible is to be encouraged in so many different ways. Yes, David was God's chosen and anointed king over all Israel. But we also, from the pages of the Bible, learn about David's very human mistakes and his failings. Really, really big ones. Like his adultery and his betrayal of his friend. But yet, even so, God still called David a man after his own heart, a man after God's own heart, showing each one of us here today and everywhere that with the God who is love, there is always a way back home. His grace, his forgiveness, his love, as this psalm expresses so fully, is never-ending. And in spite of my and your many failings and our sinfulness, our rebellion against the goodness of God time and again, God never rejects us. He doesn't disqualify us, or in contemporary words, he doesn't cancel us from his love. And this is at the heart of God's grace, mercy, and salvation, his saving of you and me. We read verses 1 to 12, but you will see when you turn over the pages of the Green Bible or look at the other one that there are many more verses in this, down to verse 22, with verses that many of you will be familiar with, which go on expressing praise and thanksgiving. And I encourage you to go away and to sit with this psalm in its entirety, so that you can see the expression of God's grace and love pouring out of every word. Because this psalm oozes gratitude and thanksgiving from every pore. And when we read it and use it for a prayer, God speaks through it and in it to you and me in unexpected ways. And when you do go back and read the psalm again, I encourage you to read it with Psalm 104, which follows it. Because it is very likely that these two were written as sort of companion psalms together. Companion psalms, hymns, songs of praise and thanksgiving. Both Psalm 103 and Psalm 104 praise God as Saviour, as Creator, as Sustainer, and as loving Father. And they both demonstrate the full magnitude of God's grace, mercy, and love for you and me. It is like a hymn that we would sing in our churches today. And indeed, you will have heard the songs already based on these verses. And the famous and very well-known hymn that we are singing today at the end of the service, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, was itself inspired by Psalm 103. So let's just think about it a little bit more. We are going to spend a portion of this sermon thinking about the beginning, although I know there's so much richness in those later verses. Verses 1 and 2 set the scene. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word benefits. Here in the UK, the word is used in politics a lot. And it's used to refer to grants and financial support given out by governments, paid for through taxes, to support those who have lots of different needs, be that health needs, be it needs during times of unemployment, housing, whatever it might be. And sometimes it can become a hotly contested political area, but I'm not making any political points when I refer to benefits today. I'm just getting us to think about what do we think about when we hear the word benefits. What do you think of? Are benefits too high? Are they too low? Are they too much? Are they too little? Are they here one day, withdrawn the next? In our society and many others, these sorts of benefits have rigorous qualifying criteria and long application processes. It can be complicated and confusing. And then at the end of the process, someone may decide whether or not you qualify or whether you deserve that benefit. In other words, they are not completely free, are they? And there's usually conditions attached. Some of you will know that I've been away over the past weekend, a long weekend in Spain. Sorry to say, everybody, whilst you were having pouring rain, I had perfect weather, and I swam in the sea, which was 23 degrees, but that's enough of my fantastic time away. Back to the point. I was there supporting some friends in a sporting event, and I flew there on one of the regular budget airlines from Bristol Airport. And they did really, really well. But I'd never flown with one of the budget airlines before. We don't fly very much. And if you want anything extra beyond walking onto the airplane, even having a suitcase in the hold, you then have to pay extra for each such benefit. Some of you will be seeing the point here already, of course, that God's benefits could not be more different. They are an eternal world away from how you and I might understand the word benefits in and of the world. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, sang the king, the man after God's own heart, who got so much wrong in his life. In the world's terms, David would probably have been disqualified for bad behavior on many, many occasions. But in God's economy, he still qualified for and received God's benefits, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace. Because in stark contrast to our own power-obsessed and cost-benefit approach to life, the grace and love of God is given to you and me time and time again. Over and over again, there is no limit. We are forgiven when we come to him time and time again when we ask it. And you and I do not bear the cost. God does. In the death of Jesus Christ for you and for me. This is the utter grace of God's saving love, the salvation that we sing of, that we pray about in this psalm. And as I flagged up just now, I've deliberately spent quite a lot of time on this beginning today, because this grace, this endless forgiveness, this never-ending love is at the heart of any praise and thanksgiving. To understand and to receive God's love and realize that there is nothing that you and I can do to qualify somehow for God's benefits, which are genuine benefits, is the heart of understanding the God of love. He freely gives them because he loves you. And with this in mind, I encourage you again, as I said at the beginning, to go from here and just sit with this psalm in the Bible. Read it and soak it and see what it says to you, whether you know God a little or a lot. See what those words in the Bible say to you and speak to you about God's love for you. In the introduction to the Bible study, which some of our home group members are studying, Eugene Peterson describes it like this. He says, "What God has done for us far exceeds anything we have done for or against him." The summary word, he goes on to say, the summary word for this excessive, undeserved, unexpected act by God is salvation. Prayer, he says, explores the country of salvation, tramping its contours, smelling the flowers, touching the outcroppings. And Eugene Peterson also refers in his study to an orchestra to help us understand this gift of salvation. I wonder what your favourite musical instrument is. Just think about that for a moment. What is your favourite musical instrument? You will know that any single instrument on its own can play something exquisitely beautiful. Something which can go deep into your soul and move you. Whether it's a violin. Thank you, Moses, for your violin playing this morning. Whether it's the piano. Thank you, Stephen. Whether it's the flute, the trumpet, the harp, percussion. Have any of you ever heard Evelyn Glennie, who was deaf, playing percussion? The power and glory and the sheer emotional strength of that is extraordinary. The cello, whatever it might be, on their own, they create something extraordinary. But they also, of course, as you know, come together in an orchestra to create yet another gift of wonder and beauty in the whole. That's just a miracle on its own, isn't it, when you think of it? And so it is too with the salvation of God, the saving grace of God. Just look again at the verses of this psalm. He forgives our iniquity, our wrongdoing, says David, again and again. And of course, David, as I said earlier, knew that at all levels when he repented. He said sorry for his adultery with Bathsheba. Verse 3, God heals. He heals in body, mind, and soul. God redeems our lives from the pit, verse 4. The pit that we all fall into, both in the troubles of our life, but also in the biggest pit of all, death. He redeems us and saves us from death. Because when we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we are redeemed by God's grace from this with a promise of the beauty of eternity with him. So when this verse says he redeems us from the pit, he is saying so much more than I'm just having a bad day. There are so many parts of salvation. It is so wide and so deep. For as the heavens are high above the earth, verse 11, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from him. From verse 6, David references the grace of God in his response to the faithlessness and rebellion of the people of God, which we read recorded in the book of Exodus, when they had to be exiled away from their homeland. God made known then his endless mercy, grace, forgiveness, and restoration to a people who over years and years rebelled and threw his love back at him. But God does not hang on to his anger. Look at verses 9 and 10. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And of course, gosh, just a couple of verses. We're just covering them in a few seconds. But they are in stark contrast to how you and I so often behave, aren't they? And I guess I want to ask this morning here, for anybody with us today, online, watching, whether it's today or later on during the week, are you hanging on to any dislike or anger with someone you know? If you are, pray for God's help in letting it go. Read and sit with the words of this psalm, this hymn. Pray for God's help in letting it go and for help in loving back. Because God is not hanging on to anger about your and my sin. He's not cancelling us. He's not avoiding speaking to us. He's not harbouring or hanging on to those grudges. He wipes the slate clean and he forgets it when we come to him. So can we with his help. Again, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions, our wrongdoings from us. Therefore, let us do the same with each other. God's wayward family has a gentle and compassionate father. And this section of the psalm contrasts so clearly the endless generosity and grace that is the salvation of God with the waywardness of our own behavior towards each other sometimes. Our salvation, our being saved, is the immensity of many beautiful gifts of grace coming together into one heavenly whole. Of course, most powerfully, and its entirety, in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and me, and then his resurrection, his defeat from death, and his rising from that cross to glory. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, constant love and mercy, satisfaction in and through him, renewal, justice, steadfastness, compassion, righteousness, all of which is everlasting and eternal. Salvation is the beautiful and eternal whole of many beautiful and eternal parts, at no cost to you and me when we come before Jesus Christ and say, sorry, and Lord, I want to follow you for my life. Pray this psalm and see for yourself. The last verses refer not only to our own personal praise, but to the praise of the whole of creation. And I'm just going to turn the page to read those last couple of verses to end. So verses 21 and 22. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his work. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.